Morning. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of the Revelation, please. Revelation chapter number one. Revelation chapter number one. I'm going to ask you this morning, if you're able, in reverence to God's Word, to stand with me for just a few moments for the reading of the Word of God. We'll begin in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. This morning, if God will help me for a little while, maybe tonight too, I don't know how it's going to go, but I want to preach on this subject. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I'm preaching with a heavy heart this morning. I'll tell you this morning, beloved, we need God's people to once again be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The Spirit of God dwells in every believer. He resides in every born-again believer. But the question this morning is, does he preside in your life? Is he just a resident in your life? Or is he the president in your life? Is he the Lord of glory in your life? Pray with me, please. You can be seated. Father, thank you this morning for the word of the living God. Thank you for John. Thank you, Lord, for these words that are penned down in the Scripture, that are preserved forever, forever settled in heaven. I pray, Father, this morning that you would anoint us with the fresh oil of God. May the dew of heaven fall on this service. May you give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to the churches this day. Lord, help us today to mind you, to be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. What is the reason? This is what I want to dwell on this morning. What is the reason that John, exiled on the Isle of Patmos, how come he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day? I believe I could light into some things this morning, and that's my desire. He's not just using words. It's the truth in his life. And I wonder, is it the truth in my life? Is it the truth in your life? And I want you to bear with me this morning for a little while as we examine these scriptures together. I believe it's so important. The first thing I want to magnify this morning, John was able to say, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day because he had a proper relationship with the Savior. John was a saved man. John was a humble man. John was one that would say things like this, that other disciple, when he referred to himself. He would say things like, the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was not bragging on his love for the Savior, but rather, beloved, he was bragging on the Savior's love for him. You say, Pastor, in the text, how do you know that John was a saved man and had a right relationship with the Savior? Well, if I didn't have anything else, I would have verse number 5. The Bible said, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. How many have found him to be faithful in your life? I can say this morning, ashamedly, I've not always been faithful. But I can say this unashamedly, he has always been faithful in my life. Amen. God has never failed. The Word of God said here, he's a faithful witness. The Bible said he's the first begotten of the dead. Thank God Easter just passed, that day when we celebrated the fact that our Savior rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And beloved, that same one they saw going up through the clouds is going to come again in like manner for you and for me. I want you to think about this morning. The Bible said he's the prince of the kings of the earth. We've got a lot of people running around in Saudi Arabia, in Europe, even in the White House in America, and they think they're the stuff. But I want you to know there's a prince coming. Amen. He's going to straighten this mess out. I'm telling you, beloved, thank God for the prince of the kings of the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now watch this. It gets even better. Or if you please, even gooder. Look here. The Bible said, unto him that loved us. You say, Pastor, how in the world do you know John was a saved man? Read with me. He loved us. He washed us, the Word of God said, from our sin in his own blood. And he made us kings and priests. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm glad I'm in the us. I'm glad John leaves us a testimony. Honey, listen, there's one that loved me. There's one that washed me. And there's one that made something out of me. Amen. He reached down and got a hold of my heart and saved my never dying soul. And beloved, gave me a purpose in this world. Amen. To live for him that died for me. And I don't ever want to get over that. Amen. You think about that. I want to give you something that I learned this time around and just really hadn't thought about it. But listen, look at the order. He loved me before he washed me. You think about that for just a minute. There's a lot of people's got the order wrong. They're trying to get people to straighten up their life and clean up their life. I tell people, you can't clean a fish until you catch it. Amen. I tell you, you let God get a hold of somebody. Amen. And save their soul. And the rest of it will take care of itself. Amen. He loved me a long time, beloved, before I ever come to know him. The Bible said he commendeth his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm glad he loved me. I'm glad he didn't stop there. There come a day, listen, when I took sides with God against myself, and I ran to the Savior. I said, Lord, I need you to have mercy. Lord, would you have mercy on me? Lord, would you forgive me? Lord, would you save me? And I'll tell you, he done all of that and so much more. Amen. Just like he did for John. Oh, beloved friend, the revelation of Jesus Christ here, we're talking about a man that's saved. The revelation is the apocalypse. That's the Greek word. It means a revealing or an unveiling. And one of the first things old John wants to unveil and reveal, hallelujah, is I know him and he knows me. Amen. Thank God. That's all this world needs. When you go to work and when you go to school, they need to know you know him and he knows you. Amen. And beloved, God can take that testimony. That's what this is, the testimony of John, and use it for his honor and for his glory. Amen. There's some people, listen to me, I'm trying to be nice. But in their ignorance, They say you shouldn't even study the book of the Revelation. I'm trying to be nice. I'm going to tell you something. A person that makes that statement is ignorant. I'm not saying that in a nasty way. I'm saying read the book. It said right there in verse number 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep the things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, the revelation is written to us. If God was concerned enough to tell us about what's coming and give us this prophecy, then you and I ought to be concerned enough to listen to what God's got to say in the book of the Revelation. Amen. We say, Pastor, what do you mean? First of all, John was a saved man. He had a right relationship to the Savior, beloved. And that's what's going to make the difference, amen. That's why he could say, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Let me give you something. I believe this is found in the book of Romans. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, you know what the problem is? He's none of his. Beloved, you must be born again. Amen. You can't have the Spirit of God without a new birth. And beloved, that's important. Amen. I'll tell you, church pews are sitting full of people today all across the land. Amen. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They'll never be filled with the Holy Ghost because they've never met the Holy Ghost in the free pardon of sin. Oh, beloved friend, he's a saved man. Secondly, in the message today, he's a servant. Look in verse 1. His right relationship to the Savior, but then his relationship as a servant. Did you know today, listen, I'm not trying to be ugly, but it's the truth. Most people that go to church today, you want to know why they go? To see what somebody can give them. What somebody can do for them. I'm going to tell you something right now. It'd be a happy day in America if we get back to what Kennedy said. Ask not what my country can do for me, but what can I do for my country? You know what we've got? We've got about 52-53% of Americans now on the dole. You know what that means? All they can ask is, what can my country do for me? I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to get back this old book. I'm not talking about disability. I'm not talking about a man that's unable to work. I'm talking about a man that's unwilling to work. I'm telling you, let him go hungry. That's what the Word of God said. If a man won't work, he shouldn't eat. You say, Pastor, what's that got to do with anything? John, look at it here. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants. I'm glad, thank God Almighty, this morning I'm not much. But I can tell you this, I am a servant of the Most High God. He means everything to me. John was a servant. He's writing unto servants the things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant. You see, servants, plural, and then his servant, singular, John. I don't know about you, beloved. Listen to me. How many's ever read the book of Revelation? Raise your hand if you've ever read it. Brother Dale, what would we do without John? Well, there'd be a lot of unanswered questions, wouldn't there? I'm telling you, what would we do without one man in the Spirit on the Lord's day? God give us the book of Revelation. One man, one of these youngins can make a difference. One mom, one dad, one papa, one mamma, one pastor, one deacon, one Sunday school teacher can make a difference. God said here, John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Oh, beloved friend, I thank God that he was a saved man, but I thank God that he was a servant of the Most High God. I can't remember where it was, but I'm thinking about very strongly having some signs made up. And I was in a church somewhere as I traveled with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. And on the outside of the double doors coming into the sanctuary, over the doors, here's what it said: enter to worship. And then as you went out of the doors, out of the sanctuary, it said these words: depart to serve. You know where we're at today? Most of God's people think they've done God a service if they come to church once in a while. Boy, it's quiet. That's okay. It'll probably get quieter before I get done. I'm telling you, we need some moms and dads in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. We need some pastors in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. We need some young people in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. This is not, beloved, listen, my service to Him. This is where He does a service for us. We come together and worship Him in spirit and in truth. And then go out yonder in this world. Amen. I'll give you this. Be a good time to say this. I didn't plan on saying it, but it's true. Many people, Brother Randall, they don't understand why the Dead Sea is dead. Do you happen to know, Brother? Okay, do you know, Brother Gary? Do you know, Brother Dale? Let me tell you why the Dead Sea is dead. You know, Brother Michael? That's okay. The Dead Sea over in Israel, it turns into salt. You can just float in that thing. But listen to me. There ain't nothing living in it. It's dead. It's the Dead Sea. I'm going to tell you why the Dead Sea's dead. It has an inlet, but it doesn't have an outlet. The Jordan River runs into the Dead Sea. The Jordan River's full of life, and it runs into the Dead Sea, but there's nothing running out of the Dead Sea. You want to know why a lot of Christians has lost their joy? Why they have no... Listen to me! God wants us to come in here, and He wants to run in to your life and into my life. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He wants us to go out yonder and not be a dead sea, not just hoard up what God's given us, but share with others what God has done in our hearts in the house of God. Amen. Let me say this to you. The worshiping you do in church, that shouldn't be the only worship you do. Choir, the singing you do in church, that shouldn't be the only singing you do. Honey, I tell you what, I'm not qualified to sing, but I sing all week. Some of these songs y'all sing, I mean, they get stuck in my craw, and I'm just like an old broken record that once in a while it skips, amen? But I just play it over and over and over because it's a blessing in my soul, amen? So, John, why was he in the Spirit? What's the reason he was in the Spirit? Number one, he was saved. Number two, he was a servant. Number three, the Scripture. A proper relationship to the Scripture. Listen to me. I'm not fussing this morning. But God knows in this congregation who opened this book last week and who didn't. There's people, listen to me, I don't know anybody, but I'm just preaching. There's people that Bible lays in the seat of the car and never gets cracked from one Sunday to the next. There's other people, beloved, it lays in the car or lays on the shelf or lays under the coffee table and never gets cracked from one Easter to the next. You say, what are you trying to say? Read it with me, would you please? I want you to see this in the Word of God. I'm talking about a man that said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I want you to see this in verse number 2. Who bear record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy. And keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. God said, I've got a book I want you to read. I've got a book I want you to hear. I've got a book I want you to keep. Amen. I believe John read it. I believe John heard it. I believe John wrote it. I believe John kept it. And therefore, beloved, when God needed a man that was full of the Holy Ghost, John could say, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. You say, Pastor, I'd like to see old-time revival. We can, but we'll see it the old-time way. You know what we want? We want old-time revival the new-time way. That's what we want. We want a microwave revival. We want less than 30 seconds, 45 seconds. God, warm us up. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, if we want old-time revival, we're talking about saints of God. Many of them couldn't hardly read their name in boxcar letters. And when they couldn't, Brother Dale, they'd get somebody in the family to read them the Word of God because they couldn't get enough of God's Word in their heart and in their life. Oh, beloved friend, old John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. He was saved. He had that relationship with the Savior. He was a servant. He had that right relationship with the Scripture. I'm going to say this to you this morning. I'm preaching with a heavy heart because as God spoke to my heart about this message, I'm burdened. I wonder, Brother John, how many times I've mounted the pulpit and I wasn't in the Spirit. Is anybody with me this morning? I wonder how many Sunday school teachers has crammed in a last 15-second or 15-minute message or lesson. They wasn't a bit more in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Honey, if we're not careful, Brother Dale, we need you to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. We need to be the choir to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I'll tell you something right now. If we're in the Spirit, then God can tear our program all to pieces if He wants to. Amen. It might be the pastor that planned on preaching and somebody else might preach. It might be a song Brother Dale planned on singing and God might have another song. It might be somebody that wasn't scheduled for a special song that sings a special song because the Holy Ghost of the living God had His way. I believe it. Jesus said He teaches us to do things decently and in order. But I'm going to tell you something. Following the Holy Ghost is never out of order. Never out of order. Never out of order. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen. John is in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. He's right with God. He's got that right relationship with the Savior. Then number two, he's a servant. He knows without Him I'm nothing. And then number three, he has a right relationship with the Scripture. Beloved, listen to me. I'm going to make this statement. I made it before. You'll never be any closer to God than you are this book. You say, Pastor, I want to get closer to God. Then you get closer to this book. And I promise you, you'll get closer to God. Amen. I watched this morning a little bit. I was up very early this morning. I was flipping through the channels. And I didn't want to watch the news. You say, Pastor, why didn't you want to watch the news? Because I wanted to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Amen. But I saw a documentary type thing of Charles Stanley's early days. I don't know if anybody saw it or not. But Brother Gary, they give him a hard time. They were seven deacons wanted to run him out of Atlanta. Are you listening to me? That goes along with the next point in my message, the right relationship to suffering. You see, John is exiled, Sister Evelyn, on the Isle of Patmos. That's like the Alcatraz of today, amen? It's a prison. It's out there, Brother Devin, where they cut marble and they work like dogs and like slaves, amen? Let me tell you something. Listen. We come in here Sunday after Sunday, and Brother Mike, I know you. I can watch your knees, brother. I can watch. I'm not making fun of you. They hurt. And I know what it is for knees to hurt. I know what it is for a back to hurt. But I'm telling you, beloved, I believe John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day because he didn't let it get him down because he was put on the Isle of Patmos. He didn't let him get him down because he had to work on some rock and beat on some rock. Beloved, he had his eyes above the island on the Savior of the world, amen. And he had the right relationship to the suffering in his life on any given day. Given Sunday, people come into this church house. I know some are tired and some are weak and some are up in years and some arthritis has taken over and some other diseases. But we can still be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Amen. John suffered. One thing I believe that really helped John, I believe this really helped him. Brother Gary, a whole lot of them disciples, they walked afar off when Jesus was dying on that cross. Not John. Sister Teresa, he was right there standing at the foot of the cross with Jesus' mother. Jesus said to John, behold thy mother, son, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me. I've been saying this for years, but I never put these two together with John and being in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I believe John said, you know what? Boys, it's bad out here on the Isle of Patmos. It's bad. I know. Boys, you ought to have been at Calvary with me. Oh, glory to God. Boys, you think it's bad out here. You ought to have seen what Jesus done for you, boys. You ought to know what Jesus done for you, boys. Now, I'm telling you, boys, I've never seen a man suffer like that before. And if we take our hurts and our heartaches and carry them to the foot of the cross, I believe God would help us that we could still be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Amen. I don't know this morning, but I don't know whether what's in my heart is getting across or not. But I'm going to tell you this. We need some people to determine by the grace of God. God, I'm not going in dead-headed. I'm not going in dead-hearted. I'm not going in going through the motions. There's enough of that going on in the world. God, I want to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I want to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. This morning I close with this thought. If you go over with me, there's a proper relationship to the Savior. A proper relationship as a servant. There's a proper relationship to the Scripture. There's a proper perspective concerning suffering. The Bible said, beloved, and we know all these things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. In that same chapter, verse 18, Paul said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. Oh, beloved friend, the Apostle Paul, he knew Jesus. The Apostle John, he knew Jesus. The right perspective concerning suffering. But then the last thing in the message today, there was a proper anticipation concerning the second coming. John is just starting the book of the Revelation, and he wants us to know that it's going to be changing soon. You say, Pastor, why would you say that? He wants to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Now listen to me. You can say, Pastor, don't you understand, Pastor, that was written down 2,000 years ago. I understand that, but you need to understand this. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So it would be all right to say he's just been gone a couple days. Honey, he's coming back. What's what the Word of God said here with me? Look at verse number 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from Him which is and which was. And look at that. Which is to come. Honey, He's coming. He's coming. He don't need your permission. He don't need mine. It's such an hour as you think not. Beloved, the world's not looking for Him. But everybody that's in the Spirit is looking for Him. Those that are in the Spirit are living for Him. Those that are in the Spirit are loving on Him. Amen. Because He is their all in all. Look with me, if you will, at verse 7 and verse number 8. Behold, He cometh with clouds. Every eye shall see Him. And they also which pierced Him. And all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was, here comes again, and which is to come, the Almighty. Honey, He's coming. I ask you this question this morning. If He were to come today, would He find you walking in the Spirit, or would He find you walking in the flesh? Let me give you a couple of things that'll help you. If you spit that back at me a while ago when I was talking about your Bible, how many knows what I just said? You feed a baby something and it's got an upset belly, bleh, gives it right back to you, amen. And it don't smell near as good coming back as it did going down. It's done soured, amen. And here it comes. Let me give you something else this morning. You say, now, Pastor, I've sat here and I've tried to listen to you, but you need to understand, Pastor, we've done made plans to eat. It's getting now on 12 o'clock. How many knows where I'm going with this? Pastor, my mind's been on what I've got to do tomorrow. That's our problem. We'll never be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day until we can get in the Lord's Day. Until church is a place where we come to get in. Not to get out, but to get in. The songwriter said, I'm in the way. The bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, I told a church one time, and I mean this. I said, if I told some of you that Jesus would be here in person at 2 o'clock, you wouldn't wait for Him. No, sir, I've got my schedule. I've got places to be and people to see and things to do. You say, Pastor, you're mean. No, I'm trying to raise... Listen, we don't need all of us. We can turn Bloomingdale upside down if half of us would determine to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I'd like to see all of us, but I also like to be realistic. Amen? We need God to help us. John, Brother Jason was able to say, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I want to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Don't you? On any given Sunday, people come and go from this church house. Come lost, leave lost. Come lost and leave lost. I'm going to tell you something right now. People that's in the Spirit, in an invitation time, they're praying for them. They could care less what time it is. Oh God, just get a hold of their heart. I got to thinking about something last week. Here it comes. I didn't plan on saying it, but I've been thinking about it. I've been chewing on it. Brother Gary, what if I had laid in the bed that Sunday night when God, before the foundation of the world, knew that was going to be the Sunday night, Brother Dale, that He would prick my heart, that He would save my soul. I tell you, what would it be like to get to hell and find out it was a Sunday night service that God had planned to change your life? Can't get there on Sunday night. Can't get there on Wednesday night. You say, Pastor, you're going to run people off. That's not my intention. I can tell you that. I'll tell you what. If preaching runs people off, the problem ain't the preacher if he's preaching the Bible. It's the heart. God wants us, beloved, listen, to be able to stand and say humbly, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. The reason. Tonight, if God will help us, I think I'll preach on the result of being in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. The reason this morning, He knew Jesus, He knew the Savior. He was a servant. He had the Scriptures welled up. John said many other things did Jesus. I suppose if they were all written, the whole world couldn't contain the books that would be written. John also said over there, beloved, listen, many other signs did Jesus in the presence of His disciples. But these are written. These are written that you might believe. People say, preacher, I need my faith increased. Get in that book. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Amen. Pick that book up. Make that book real in your life. I tell you, beloved, there's much more to say, but God said, quit right there. Let's quit right there. And determine by the grace of God, I want to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Let's come with our singing. Let's bow our heads for prayer.